They hope that that happens tomorrow often enough against what the 49ers fans think is a star in Brock Purdy. Good morning on this Saturday morning here at the Borgata, the sportsbook at the Borgata. Always fun to come here and hang out, but it'll be fun this morning. You know, I don't think the 49ers fans, well, I know they're not as bad as the Cowboys fans, because the Cowboys fans are the most useless, ignorant, stupid, moronic dopes in sports. But 49ers fans did a little chirping this week. Hey, it's a tough game. It's a really good game. So, but the Eagles need to get to the quarterback, obviously, as they do every game. And Hassan Reddick, obviously, is prepared in his mind to have a good game. So, you know, I don't care about the whining. I don't care about any of that stuff. It's just go out and play the game. And if the players complain, it's not all the players. It's a few of the players. I'm not a Kyle Shanahan fan because he's the silent killer. He quietly complains. Just don't complain. It doesn't do any good. But it doesn't make any. But the other point is, it doesn't make any difference. So as we are, I'm not going to do the math, but it's over 24 hours away because it's a 4:25 game. Boy, Fox is making a big deal of this game. I saw the production crews that were there yesterday doing all these interviews with players, and people just want the football game. I understand the pregame shows are important, and it's programming content, and there's some interest there. But the production crews aren't only here. I'm sure they're in San Francisco talking to the 49ers. It's just unbelievable, the production that goes in to these games. It's a football game. And that's what the fans care about, a football game. What players say is irrelevant. You know, you want to have a guy, if he's going to say something, have a personality with saying, hey, Brandon Graham's really good with that. And there's other players on the team that are really good with that. Nick Sirianni has kind of tried to tone it down. He's trying everything to say, hey, it's two different teams, whatever. And it really is, and it's a football game. But everybody wants to make more of it than it is. It's the two best football teams probably in the entire league, not just in the conference, probably in the entire league. But the Eagles have had big games. Dallas game was a big game. Kansas City game was a big game. Buffalo game, yeah, how about these stretch of games? Buffalo game was a big game. And this is a bigger game. And at the beginning of the season, if I had to identify, and I've said this on the air, to identify the biggest game of the year, I always thought this was the biggest game of the year. And the reason is because they only play the 49ers once, it is likely, if they're tied, the tiebreaker. It's head-to-head. And whoever wins this game would obviously win the head-to-head. So I think this is the biggest game of the year. Not because the 49ers, and they're a good team, but because it figures in to the home field or even the bye. And that is, the bye's really important, and the home field's important. The bye's probably the most important, but if you get the bye, then you're going to get the home field because you got the number one seed. But in reality, how much does this game concern you? One way or the other, or whether it doesn't concern you. I mean, just one way or the other. Does it concern you? Doesn't it concern you? It is a tough game. I don't care. Like I said, I don't care about the trash talking. Once the players get on the field, it doesn't make any difference. Injuries, I'm not sure if they're a factor. I don't think Dallas Goedert was officially listed as doubtful. Nick Sirianni's asked the questions about injuries during the week. And he'll never give an answer. Never. Never. Well, we'll see about that. We'll wait till the end of the week. I'll have it for you this afternoon because they have to put it out on Friday afternoon. I didn't think, as I said during the week, I didn't think Dallas Goedert was going to play, but I'm almost positive he's going to play next week against Dallas. Lane Johnson will play. Fletcher Cox is questionable, so there's a chance, but I don't know that he'll play. But they, obviously they need that defensive line to help the secondary. Shaq Leonard, he wasn't going to play this week anyway. I actually think he'll be with the Eagles next week. And he wants more money. He wants teams to give him a guarantee, I'm sure, for next year. But nobody's going to do that. Dallas isn't going to do it, and the Eagles aren't going to do it. How about I'm sure the agent is weighing one against the other because the Eagles play Dallas next week. So they're going to weigh one against the other. But you can't let that influence you. If he comes here, fine, it's depth. I think Cunningham, who will probably be out this week, the linebacker, there's a good chance he'll be back next week, so you may not need Shaq Leonard. Another thing that happened yesterday, DeSean Jackson retired as an Eagle. A nice gesture. Signed a one-day contract, retired as an Eagle. Talked to the media yesterday, talked about his memories. You know, I remember a lot of plays, but he remembered a lot of plays. And, you know, obviously he's going to remember one, but the story behind those plays, and we're going to hear from DeSean Jackson later in the show. It just, that could have been my question there. Your best DeSean Jackson moment, but it really comes down to the one play. It does for me, because there was a conversation about that during the week. I'll tell you about that with DeSean Jackson during that week before he had the big play against, the Jets? I think it was the Jets. They won that game. Sixers. Mr. Softy, Joel Embiid. I guess he's not going to be the MVP this year. Not that he should have been the MVP last year. It was Jokic. But Embiid had a terrific year. I'm not going to take that away from him. But Jokic was the MVP. But this year, you have to play a certain amount. Now they require a certain amount of games. The NBA is such a bogus league. It's a broken product. The National Hockey League is better than the NBA. Soccer might be better than the NBA. But the NBA is such a bad product. Obviously, the Sixers don't need Embiid. They played a really tough game. They played hard. They didn't have a lot of whining. They didn't have a guy that was tired in the fourth quarter. They actually had a lead late in the game. But regardless of the situation, I mean, Maxey was out too and missing both of them. The line went up. I saw the line went up to 11.5. From like 6.5. And I knew at that point you couldn't lay the number. But people were betting the Celtics because of the injury or the sickness or whatever it was. But I guess the Sixers don't need Joel Embiid because everybody else plays harder. Look at it that way. Kelly Oubre, gonna be back soon. Oh, I'm so excited. Get the cars off the road so we don't have this alleged fictitious hit and run. And it is a totally alleged, you got to say alleged, fictitious hit and run. It never happened. Every investigation said it never happened. But that's all right. Teams like to cover for guys. But there's, and I'll say this, and this is all I'm going to say. There's more to come from what I've been told with the Kelly Oubre situation. More to come. And I'll leave it at that. All right, Ira, I will leave it at that, but just be aware, there is more to come. Our question today, and for the next few weeks right up until right through the holidays, we have a $100 gift card, but this week, and I love McGurk, so, and we'll get back to McGurk's, but for the holidays, a unbelievably fine restaurant, Star Restaurants, $100 gift card to Star Restaurants. Still looking for the perfect gift this holiday season? Star, that's with two R's, restaurants, gift cards are good at the top destinations. I mean, they got Park, Barclay Prime, Elvez, Budokan. They have close to, I think they have 19 or 20 restaurants just in this area. So you got plenty to choose from. Give the gift of memorable experiences. Purchase at any Star restaurant or online at Star, that's with two R's, stargiftcards.com. So here's the question to win the $100 gift certificate to Star restaurants. The team you most, and I don't like to use the word hate, but fans go to that level. The team, for 1 year, a team in 1 year that you most hate, make it for 1 year. Because it's easy to dislike the Dallas Cowboys, but you like that over history. The team that you despise, I'll use the word despise, for 1 year, a team in the last 25 years that you just flat out, and maybe I might stretch it beyond a little past 25, but let's keep it in that realm, that you flat out dislike, despise for 1 year. And we'll do that to try to help you out with the $100 gift card. From the Star restaurants. All right, let's go to the phones before we take care of some business here. Chris, you're on WIP.
Hi, Howard. How you doing?
Never had a bad day in my life.
That's right. Always living the dream, even if it's a nightmare.
Oh, it's a hell of a dream, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So a couple things. I want to talk about just your first question that you're talking about with the confidence level. Personally, my concern about the game, I'm not worried about it because, to me, if the Eagles lose this game, it's not the end of the world. I don't feel that we're going to lose to the Cowboys and the Niners both. So I'm not worried about them not getting the number one seed. I think it'd be really tough to see them lose both games. So I think out of these games, they're going to win one of them.
Here's the problem with that. And the NFL set up the schedule. It's a little more separation. When teams play each other, obviously in the same division, you play each other twice. Within a reasonable amount of time, it's hard to win both those games. That's the difficult thing. Now, what they did is they scheduled the Eagles and Giants twice within 3 weeks at the end of the season, which is ridiculous. And the NFL wants a split, but the Giants are so putrid and so disgustingly bad that I can't see that happening for the Eagles, unless the last game doesn't mean anything. And they play them the last game in the season up there.
Yeah, but I don't think they're...
But that's what's tough. It's tough, and that's why I really am worried about the Cowboys game. Only because, not because they're not better than the Cowboys. The Eagles are clearly better than the Cowboys. But clearly, and I say clearly, moral victories don't count, even though Cowboys fans kind of put that in the standings column because they're idiots and dopes. But the reality is that's a tough game because playing them the second time within a reasonable amount of time. So, yeah, but this is a tough game. This really is a tough – it is a tough game. But it's the two best teams, so it should be a tough game.
Most definitely. Now, the big thing I wanted to kind of talk to you about is some of the stuff that actually I talked to you when you were with Fritz a couple nights ago. And he kind of put me in a situation like that kind of drives me nuts because I hear it a lot. And I actually heard it the same thing with Jalen last year. And I want to talk to you a little bit about both of them. So one of the things that I heard with Jalen Hurts is that, oh, he's a system quarterback and that, you know,
I never heard that.
This is from the knucklehead fans that you have around here for the other
Well,
teams.
That's what they, well, yeah, well, I mean, okay. All right, that's it.
But anyway, so the thing that I look at is that hearing that concept is that how people have that view but can't see the same thing out of Brock Purdy. Because if you put someone in there like a Kirk Cousins, do you see that team having any decline?
I think Brock Purdy's done a nice job.
Yeah.
I will give him that. I think he's done a nice job. And I like Kirk Cousins. But it's hard to just, when you plug in other quarterbacks and other teams and say, well, would they be the same or would they be better? That's hard to say. It's just, and I don't think it's fair to any of the quarterbacks. So I like Kirk Cousins, but Purdy has done a nice job, but the Eagles, if they put pressure on them, but here's the bottom line. The Eagles need to get a lead. And you've got to pass the football to score points. And, oh, yeah, run the ball and keep it away from them. That's so ridiculously foolish when people say that. Oh, run the ball and keep it away from them. When you have a lead, you want to run the ball and keep it away from them. And you got to run the ball at times. But they need to get a lead. They can't fall behind this team because statistically it's clear. It shows that they are a much better team when they have a lead than when they are behind. And the quarterback's much better with a lead than behind, which a lot of players are. But this is it's clear how much different a team they are. The Eagles need to get the lead, and I will say that.
Yeah, and so this is where it brings in what we're talking about with kind of in that principle where you're going with, you know, playing with the lead and how they play differently. Fritz brought up the point that, you know.
Well, I don't care what Fritz brought up because he was a fool the other night anyway.
Yeah.
You know, trying to make a point that Shanahan's better than Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about results. It's about results.
Yeah. Yep. And that's what I was talking about. That's another point here that Nick Sirianni's only good because of the players that.
That debate was foolish anyway. Hey, listen, yeah. Do you have an answer to my question?
The only problem is the team that I can think of that I hate is. It's probably a little bit older than 25 years because it started my hatred for him.
Go ahead.
Was the year that Scott Stevens took the shot on Eric Lindros in the playoffs.
Wow,
that's 40 years ago, right?
That's 40.
I'm an old man.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, that's too far back. I don't know if it's 40 years ago, but it's clearly close to 40 years ago. I forget when that happened. Well, actually, 40 years ago was the offsides call. I don't know when it was, but. You know what? I'll check when that happened and see if we want to include that. But you hate the player. I want you to hate or despise the team. And, you know, there was nothing wrong with that team. You didn't despise that team, but you did despise that player. Bam, you're on WIP.
Yo, what's up, King? What's going on? How you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. Another day in paradise for me.
Absolutely. Shout out to Johnny Marks last night for coming out to where I was at last night with Deshaun.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Getting to this game, I was saying before your program came on, I was in here listening to the previous program. How can they say the Eagles are busted and they're gone and they take the 49ers?
I didn't hear him say that, so I can't. I don't know exactly what they said.
They said the Eagles are lucky and they can't, you know.
Well, you can't be 10-1 and be a luck is a residue of design. And when you work hard, luck falls your way because it's not really luck, it's hard work. Hard work is a design and luck is the residue of design. So
right.
They're not lucky. 10-1. It's hard to be 10-1 and say you're lucky.
Right.
And I like Boomer, but if that's what he said, that's just foolish.
Yeah, you're right. And what else? Getting to my next point, to answer your question, the team that I most hate is going to be because, you know, I told you I'm a Sacramento Kings fan.
Yeah, for one year. Who do you despise? I don't like the word. Go ahead.
Warriors. The Golden State Warriors.
Why? Why do you despise?
I'm a Kings fan.
But that's you're despising them for the wrong reason. They have some good guys. The coach is a really good guy. Steph Curry's a really good guy. Klay Thompson's a really good guy. The only jerk, and he's just an obnoxious jerk, is Draymond Green. I can't stand him because he thinks he's all that. Not only does he think, and then he acts so ridiculously, he's so ridiculous and so foolish. But the team is it. I don't know how you can not like that team, or let's put it despise. You don't have to like them, and whether you're a Kings fan or not. Kings weren't good enough. That's what it came down to. All right, You've got the numbers. Give them once a segment. I don't have to give them 20 sometimes in each segment because you know the number. 215-592-9494. Your level of concern with this game. And San Francisco's good. I mean, 49ers fans can be, you know, they got a little full of themselves this week, but they're not the Cowboys fans. The 49ers players, you know, I don't care about trash talk. I don't care what they say. It really, the game is won on the field. So your level of concern, it is a tough game, and we know that. Injuries could play a little bit of a factor. We're going to hear from DeSean Jackson, who retired as an Eagle yesterday. Had a great career and exciting moments. And tell me, and I'm serious with this question, because I don't think the Sixers can ever win a championship with Joel Embiid, ever. So I just don't think he plays hard enough. He's not committed enough. I don't know what the illness was. It's just, come on, you're missing guys. You're playing the Celtics. But, you know, and if it's really a bad illness, and the Sixers should say that's what it is, rather than just hide everything. You know, they've obviously tried to hide the Kelly Oubre situation. But just, you know, they just do, if you do the right things, they can be lovable. You know, it's not just winning games, because they're not going to win a championship. But I don't think last night, they played hard. And they weren't going to beat the Celtics, but close doesn't make any difference because you didn't win the game. But they played hard. Do the Sixers really need Embiid? I mean, I know he's a really good player. Do they really need Embiid? We can talk about that too. All right, you got the numbers. We're at the fabulous, sensational Borgata. Broadcasting live from the sports book here at the Borgata, which is really nice. Stopped in last night. People here just kind of hanging out, watching the games, betting the games. But it's a nice place to be. I'm Howard Eskin. The time now is 8:22. And if you're in the restaurant, and there's people out there that are in that business, the hospitality, bar, or casino business, you're looking for a point-of-sale system that can truly make a difference. I've talked about this for a while, and if you haven't at least looked into it, you should. PDQ Signature Systems. PDQ, POS, has been the top-rated restaurant management system for over 35 years. They offer everything. Mobile POS, self-serve kiosk, analytical reporting, contactless functionality, online ordering, loyalty and delivery management, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ. POS, not only the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available, but they'll also save you time, effort, they'll save you money, and you can focus on your customers. Really, that's what matters. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, Joe Flynn, terrific guy, and runs and heads a great team of people that create a custom game plan to fit your individual business needs. If you want a point-of-sale system that will truly make a difference, you need PDQ POS. I mean, you can join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and go all in with PDQ Signature Systems. Schedule your free demo and business consultation. You can do it any day. You can do it today. PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com. They're not as bad as the Cowboys fans. I'll give them that. 49ers fans are different. Ticket to Ride, that's good too. Finally, some good tunes on this show. About time. Dan Wilson finally came up with some good stuff. But I should have let it play a little bit. But that's all right. It's all good. The most memorable play for DeSean Jackson, and we'll get back to the Eagles and 49ers. The most memorable play was clearly the punt return to win the game. I mean, it was the last play of the game. It was great. Tom Coughlin went nuts on the sidelines. There's a picture, and I don't know if I have it or it's hanging up somewhere, where you see a line of Giants players following DeSean Jackson. and Tom Coughlin throwing down his clipboard or his papers or whatever it was as he's running by him because he told the punter to kick it out of bounds. But that whole game was, I mean, I was ready to go home, you know, warm up the buses. Let's get the hell out of here. When it was 31-10, and Merrill Reese kind of mailed it in, too, on the touchdown that made it 31-10, which is really interesting with about 8.5 minutes to go. Let's hear the call. I mean, the call of the punt return we'll get to as well. Let's hear the call from Merrill Reese as the Giants go up 31-10. Let's go for it.
Manning takes the snap. He's back again. He looks. He fires. Touchdown, Kevin Moss. And that should wrap it up. Moss, 9 yards deep, center of the end zone.
Yeah, that should wrap it up. 31-10. 8.5 minutes to go. It's just, and Deshaun talked about yesterday, about Andy Reid at halftime, about the players at halftime. And they didn't get it going until after that touchdown. So, you know, that's why sometimes speeches are irrelevant. Let's hear what Deshaun Jackson had to say when they came in at halftime, getting their ass kicked by the Giants. But the game wasn't over, as we know. 31-10, 8.5 minutes to go. But at halftime, they were getting destroyed, too. So Deshaun talked about that situation when the players came in at halftime.
Yeah, where do I start? Favorite play, man. I have multiple favorite plays. Honestly, in particular, one play was the punt return.
You know what? Hold on for a second. Let me cut. Dan, do you have the cut where he's talking about when they came in at halftime? What's that? Okay. All right, because that's what I want to hear. He talked about the punt return, but I want to talk about what they talked about, what happened at halftime. All right. Of that game when they were getting killed. All right, let's hear from Deshaun Jackson.
And he made a speech, and after that speech was made, and we riled up and talked again, and it was just something that just turned on, and we was like, man, we gonna come out here and we gonna win this game. And to be in a game like that, to be down at a deficit like that, and to come back and to win, it was like the second half, it was nothing we could have done wrong. Like, after all the wrong we did in the first half, it was like that second half, there was nothing we could do wrong. We came back and we won that game, and I just remember that punt return was like, I was like, I sailed into the end zone like an eagle, just kind of picked me up and flew me into the end zone. I tell everybody that. But and I was special, you know. Me losing my dad in 2009 and in 2010, to have that game, and just I could just remember everything. Like, it just was surreal, man. I was for sure one of the biggest players.
It was unbelievable. Now here's what the players started yelling at each other is what some of the things Deshaun was talking about. And then Andy Reid told him to basically be quiet. And then Andy Reid let him have it at halftime of that game. So, but they didn't really get it rolling until after. I mean, they didn't score till there was 7.5 minutes to go. But they were getting destroyed.
At halftime, it was midway through the fourth.
Yeah, it was midway through the fourth, but so much for halftime speeches. But whatever it was, that and we'll get to Deshaun talking about the punt return. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it because here's what happened. Deshaun and I were talking at the beginning of the season, just as a, you know, kind of a flippant question or kind of an aside. I says, all right, so how many punt returns? Back then the rules were different, so you would have more punt returns. Devin Hester was probably the best at it, but Deshaun was right there. So I said, how many punt returns are you going to have this year? So beginning of the year, he says, I'm going to have two. So we get to that game the week during, and I was talking to him. I remember exactly where I was talking to him, too, outside the locker room. And I said, Deshaun, you have zero punt returns, zero. You told me you would have two. So he laughed and he says, you know what? I'm going to get one this week. I says, okay. Okay. But you told me you'd have two. I'm going to get one this week. And then after the game, I interviewed him, and he remembered the fact that I told him he didn't have any punt returns. He said, "I got you one. You didn't get it from me. You won the game." So, which was kind of a cool a situation. But the whole thing, watching the punt return, watching Tom Coughlin go nuts. The punter, Tom Coughlin came into the punter after the game, and I know this from somebody I talked to who was in the locker room. He told the punter, he says, "I should cut you right now," screaming and yelling at him. He went nuts in the locker room, went nuts on the field. It was crazy. It was such a great, it was a memorable situation in a lot of ways. Let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Hey, Howard, you asked about the level of concern, and you know, I do have a high level of concern just simply because, not that I don't think the Eagles are overlooking this game or won't be prepared for this game, just due to the simple fact that, you know, the 49ers have had four extra days rest. The Eagles defense did play 93 snaps last week. So my concern is that our defense isn't going to be up to the level that we need them to be tomorrow based on not having enough rest and the amount of plays they played against the Bills.
Well, they haven't had enough days, but the practice this week was really, I think they had one real practice. The rest of it is just they didn't really, because Nick Sirianni wanted to give them rest. But there's no question they're coming off of last week's game. But they're, you know, they're professional players. You know, you when you play the game, it sounds great. It's like teams don't even have problems anymore with short weeks. It's like Monday to Thursday, it's never been a problem anymore. Monday to Sunday, not even a problem anymore. So they're used to that because of the schedules they play. Now, the 49ers have had a lot of time off, and so that's great. So they're more rested, and that clearly is an advantage. But that's excuses. Bad teams make excuses when they don't have enough rest. So that's the way I look at that. That's not going to win or lose the game. What's going to win or lose the game is you can't have any turnovers. And the Eagles don't turn the ball over. They'll never lose a game. You can't have any turnovers. And you've got to get to their quarterback. And you've got to get a lead on San Francisco because they don't play as well from behind. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's not simple, but you know what I'm saying. You know.
No, absolutely. I agree with that. It would be a lot harder to come back against their defense if we get into a 10-point hole than it would be against
other teams. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The thing that makes me look on the upside is Lane Johnson's going to be back, which is huge because we're going to need him to protect, you know, Jalen Hurts. And I guess my only other question would be, Howard, is how do you think, like, the weather's changing now. So basically it's not supposed to really rain at the start of the game. All the rain's supposed to come beforehand. So who does that have an advantage for? I think now it has an advantage for us, whereas I thought with the rain,
if it rains, this would be the fifth rain game. I mean, it's not fun for me either because I got to stand in it. But but whatever, it's what I do. So I got to stay there on the sidelines, and it rains. Last week was brutal, but if you're looking for an advantage with the weather, players know how to handle the football when it's wet, and they try to keep the footballs dry. So I think the biggest issue with wet weather is field goals, the snap, the hold, you know, all those things are factors. And that's why it's what the holder did. I mean, he did a great job. The Eagles did a good job getting man as their punter. But he's because he's a good holder too, and that figures into that. So I think we overstate that. If it's a driving rain, if it's windy, that affects a passing game. So that would change things, but I don't think it's supposed to be windy. So what is it? A 1 year, the team that you most despise for 1 year, or despise?
I would have to go with the Astros. Their cheating scandal year.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah, you really did despise them. All right, John. Hey, I appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. 215-592-9494. Biggest level of concern. I want somebody to tell me that the Sixers will win a championship with Embiid, and I'll say you're out of your mind and delusional. They played hard last night. Played hard without Joel Embiid. Yeah, he's good. I'm not going to say he's a very, very talented player. But, you know, I just don't picture him as a winner. I don't care whether he won the MVP award. You know what? I'm still waiting for the parade for the MVP. You know, don't we have a parade for the MVP? Oh, that's just championships. Oh, we probably would have had a parade for the in-season tournament. The biggest joke in professional sports is in-season tournament, which still people don't know what the hell it is. Most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in sports. But whatever. All right. Our question to win the $100 gift card to Star Restaurants, the $100 gift card is the perfect gift, whether it's for the holidays. So many. I mean, there's close to 20. I can go right down the list. They're all over the area. And that's in this area. Close to 20. You know, you got the, and I don't even, if I would call Park and Barclay Prime and Elvez and Budokan the main ones, because they're all so good. So it's a great gift. And if you want to get a gift card, you can go online, star with two R's, stargiftcards.com. But the question is, the team for 1 year that you, I don't like the word hate, so I'll use despise, for 1 year that you really can't stand them. All right? 215-592-9494. I know I got something here that I want to do. And the time now here at Borgata at the Sportsbook is 8:42. You know, I always tell you, here's what's happening at Borgata. I can't even go over everything. Last night, Jerry Seinfeld was here. Another sold-out show here at the Borgata. It was here for only one night. Sebastian Maniscalco was here a couple weeks ago for a lot of shows. But there's so many good things. I can just go through a litany of things. The sports book is sensational. Okay, we have that. The restaurants are terrific. The casinos, you know, I know the slot players always love all these new, big, great slot machines. Well, the slots and the table games big. The poker room, open 7 days a week. It's always packed, and it's big, and people really love it. You got a great spa. The hotel is clearly the best on the East Coast, not just Atlantic City, the best on the East Coast, easily. If you want a lot of fun and you want to enjoy things, whether it's the live music at the bars, whatever it is, the restaurants are all sensational. You really got to check it out. Start planning your getaway today. Check it all out. And here is the way you can check it out. They got a Christmas show too, which I didn't go to last night, but I think I might go next week. TheBorgata.com for more details. You know, the Stones are coming next year. Lincoln Financial Field. I think it's in June. Mick Jagger just never, ever, ever stops. That's good. He's got all that energy. I was lucky enough to meet the Stones. They played at the Vet 1 year, and I went down and I met them. That was kind of cool. The Rolling Stones. I met Paul McCartney. That's the history of music, the history of rock and roll, which is really kind of cool. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Joe, you're on WIP.
Good morning, King.
What's happening?
Well, King, before I commence, I'm glad that I'm just passing through your world. I'm just glad you're not charging, because you wind up owning the Sixers. now.
You're glad that I'm not. I didn't quite understand it. You're glad that I don't own the Sixers?
Yes.
Well, if I owned the Sixers, I would treat the fans a lot better, but that's another story.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have raised ticket prices for almost every year, and especially when you tried to lose. I wouldn't have done that.
Correct. Now, how about Joel Embiid?
Yes.
You are correct. They will never, 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 never win a championship for him. In fact, he should be driving the Mr. Softy truck because that's how he plays.
You know what? I saw a Mr. Softy truck not too long ago. I thought I saw him in the truck driving it. Yeah, but he screwed up the cone. They wanted chocolate and vanilla. The cone with both. Both flavors, and he screwed it up. The ice cream was all over the place.
Now, about the Eagles game tomorrow.
Yep.
How is here? That line will close at 3.
It probably will.
Yeah. And the
I was talking to the I'm friends with the guy that runs a sports book here at the Borgata, and. It just kept on going up, and he pretty much feels the same thing. It's not coming down, and you figure Eagles people would be betting it, taking the 3 and betting it down, and it doesn't seem to be coming down.
That's right. That line is telling you who to bet.
Normally I would tell you that, and that is, there's no question that's an indication, but.
Yeah.
The Eagles find ways to win. I mean, that's the only thing. It's the two best teams, and I think it's a really difficult game. There's no question.
Now, Howard, one last point, and I've never heard it brought up on the station. The Phillies play 81 games at home and 81 games on the road.
Good. Your math is good.
Why?
Okay.
Why? When they're at home, why do the players receive $147 mail money and twice the amount on the road? Don't they have any money?
Well, wait a minute. I don't know that they don't get mail money at home.
Yes, they do. $147.
They do?
Yes. And
they feed them. I mean, they have their own kitchen and own chefs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to check that out. That is pathetic.
Yes.
That's pathetic.
And they get $344 on the road.
I know they get money on the road.
Yeah. Now.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. You mean $15, $20 million isn't enough to buy your meals? $25 million is not enough to buy your meals?
Right.
You know what? It's sad. Well. Actually, it's probably not enough. It's just.
and the in-season tournament is still going on.
Who cares?
It's still going on, right?
It's the biggest joke in professional sports.
When you say despise, could it be a person?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Okay. Well, this guy.
Go ahead.
Daryl Morey.
He comes off as a nice guy. He's just a fraud.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes off as a nice guy, and I appreciate it. He's just a fraud. That doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He's not good at what he does. He's never been a winner, and he'll never be a winner. But that doesn't mean make him a bad guy. So I won't go that route. 215-592-9494. We're at the Borgata. The sports book is where we broadcast from now on Saturdays. You're welcome to come down and join us. There's always people that come in. They listen. Mark Lawrence will join us at 9:40 today. A lot of big college football games today. And, of course, the pro card tomorrow is kind of weak. It's kind of weak because there's still a lot of teams on buys. So we'll deal with that, too. The time now is 8:56. 94 WIP. Big game tomorrow. And it is, and I said this is the biggest game of the year before the season started, and it's the biggest game of the year. I know that Nick Sirianni likes, it's just one game. It is just one game. But it could be the tiebreaker. And that's the home field and the bye is so, so important. So important when you play a game. You're concerned with the Eagles? The trash talking, I don't give a damn. Once they start and play the game, trash talk is just a bunch of nonsense. Talk radio nonsense. And that's all right. It gets everybody all stirred up. It's good. You know, I'm glad the guys in WIP enjoyed ripping me because the guys in San Francisco enjoy having me on. Now, I rip them too, but they still enjoy the back and forth. You know, it's just, it's all right. I want them to say that they don't enjoy it? I mean, it's just foolish. And they, poor John. John got ripped sideways and frontways in all kinds of ways, but that's all right. That's what they do. You just got to suck it up. Whether they like it or they don't like it. So DeSean Jackson retired as an Eagle yesterday. You know, just to get us in the mood to start the second hour, that punt return was, you know, I'm going to, let's play the punt return and the Merrill's call, the punt return. By the way, Merrill, we played his call earlier where he said the game was over. And that's it. What it was, 31-10 with 8.5 minutes to go. But that's all right. It did seem like it was it. I wanted to get the hell out of there. But whatever the case may be, it was such a great moment. So let's hear the play call, and then hear DeSean talk about it. Here we go with the call of that punt return that won the game against the Giants in 2010, when they were down in that game, 31-10. This won the game. By the way, Mike, it was Miracle of the Meadowlands number 3, but that's all right. Because you got to remember, in the 70s, when Joe Pisarcik foolishly, and it wasn't his fault, it was the coach's fault, tried to hand the ball off the fumble that Herm Edwards picked up, and they ran it in for the touchdown and won the game. That was Dick Vermeil's team. And then you got the Brian Westbrook punt return. That was 2. And then you got the DeSean Jackson punt return. That's 3. So there were 3 Miracle of the Meadowlands. When I see Mike, I'll have to make sure that he knows he stands corrected. But and DeSean talked about, he was asked about some of the more exciting plays, the most exciting play as an Eagle. That was the most, I mean, he's had some great plays. That was the most exciting. DeSean talked about it yesterday when he retired as an Eagle.
I tell people a lot, I honestly didn't think he was going to punt that ball to me. I'm sitting back to him, 13 seconds left. I'm like, there's no way in the world he's going to give me opportunity to catch this punt. So I can tell, like, when he kicked the ball, it was like he shanked it. Like, I can tell the way he was, like, trying to line up and, like, kick it out of, like, directional, kick it out of bounds. And a lot of times what people don't know, when them punters try to purposely kick it out of bounds, a lot of times they shank it because they're trying to purposely do it so hard to get it out of bounds. So it's like he almost, like, you know, shanked it and it went off his foot and it, like, curved. So the way the punt came down, it was an unusual punt. So by the time I'm getting it, it was almost like it kind of, like, curved in a way where it, like, kind of hit off my arm and, like, went to the right a few steps. But I say this too, when I fumbled, I purposely fumbled for y'all that don't know. When I fumbled, it made it perfect because when the ball went like 2-3 yards to the right, like everybody kind of shifted out their lane. So by the time I picked the ball up, I like stuck my foot in the ground and just hit that little gap in, and Jason Avant depleted himself, knocked the dude out, knocked himself out, and everything else was history.
It was unbelievable. One of the best parts, there's a photo, and I think it may be hanging up somewhere in the facility, but I've seen it where a line of players is following DeSean, and then Tom Coughlin, the head coach of the Giants, is going nuts. It was it's the moment that I most remember from DeSean, clearly, that I most remember. Let's go to Drew. Drew, you're on WIP.
Howard.
Yes.
Yes, a bunch of quick things. I'll try to get through it all quick. With DeSean Jackson, you know, no question for me, he should be in the Eagles Hall of Fame. I think he's third in yards, in receiving yards.
He will be.
And I know the punt return was iconic for him, but to me, when he got knocked out, I think it was against Cleveland on that play over the middle, you know, he got the concussion. That just signified to me, for the size player he was, he was fearless. You know, he was fearless, and you know, he would do anything to catch a ball, and that play, you know, proves that. You know, he
was fast. He could track a ball. That's one of the things that I noticed. It didn't take long to notice that. He could track a ball to catch it as well or better than any receiver I've ever seen. It's a skill, but it's also ingrained in you. It's just, it's instincts. It's just, that's, and his speed obviously was, Deshaun was
right.
A second round pick. And I won't forget the day that he came in after the draft into the facility, and I saw him there, and I just, you know, I didn't follow much of DeSean Jackson with Cal, but it was fun to get to meet him that first time and then watch him play for the Eagles, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you compare, you know, the comparison to me today is like a Tyreek Hill in terms of the speed and the quickness.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the,
clearly.
You know, and so, you know, you combine the speed with the ball tracking, and he was a force, you know, so.
Yeah.
And then one more quick thing before getting to the Eagles. So on the Phillies, I guess this answer is probably a yes easily, but if you could swap out Juan Soto for Castellanos, you would do that, right?
You're serious. You actually asked me that question?
Well, it wouldn't take me
1/10 of 1/10 of 1/10 of 1 second to do that. Yeah, but you'd have to give up a lot for Soto. Hey, Soto would be great in right field. You know, it's just, yeah. I mean, that lineup, you know, I still think they need to change the lineup, but it doesn't matter with Soto on the lineup. You got so much, it would be unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, you know, there's been some questions about the culture aspect of Soto. Like,
he can play, he can play. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean,
not everybody's an angel anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he puts the ball in play, and he doesn't strike out nearly as much, and he walks a ton, and, you know, so he'd be, you know, he would improve the lineup vastly, although it would make it more lefty-dominant power-wise, but...
I don't care. I'm tired of lefty-righty nonsense. Just, if you can play, you can play. You can hit anybody.
Yeah.
All right, so then, what did you want to say about the Eagles?
So, with the Eagles, Howard, the thing I'm concerned about the most is... There's only one team that's given up more touchdown passes than the Eagles. Only one team in the NFL has given up more touchdowns. And there's only two teams that have given up fewer touchdown passes than the Niners. So how are we going to stop the three-headed monster, Kittle, McCaffrey, and Ayuk, from getting in the end zone?
Well, I worry about McCaffrey. But you get a lead. You got to get a lead. Listen, the defense has obviously got to play a good game, but you have to get a lead. How are you going to stop them? I mean, obviously they lost three in a row, so somebody stopped them. They lost three in a row this year at one point. Somebody has stopped them. All right, so I don't know what those teams did, but somebody has stopped them. All right, who's the team that for 1 year you most despise?
Well, my most hated team, I'll just go with the 81 Celtics that came back from down 3-2 and kept. I think the Sixers would have beaten the Rockets and won the title. In 81,
the time period, but I'll allow it only because that's like 40 years, and I wanted to get it at 25. But I remember that Celtics, for people that remember the Celtics team. Yeah, people didn't like the Celtics. They were a great team, but they didn't like
it. Howard, the Celtics had so many guys that annoyed the crap out of me, whether it was McHale or Maxwell or ML Carr. I mean, they were just a very hateable team, and I couldn't.
That's a good point with the players they had. Thanks for the call. All right. This is a time period that we talk to an idiot and a dope.
Lamont. Good morning. Get to the real team, the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and
the
you know
whiners.
Who we are.
All right, yeah, the real team.
Howard,
please
you lose
spare me.
Two weekends in a row, Howard. You lose this weekend and you lose next weekend to the Cowboys.
Okay, good. All right.
And Howard, listen.
Is that
I'm tired of Mr. Lurie. putting you out in front like this, pimping you like this, Howard. You don't need no more cars, Howard. That's it.
Is that it?
No, that ain't it, Howard. You don't need to be getting picked out by Mr. Lurie no more. Stop doing with the Eagles. Come on, Howard. You're a Cowboy fan.
What?
Stop it.
What are you? Okay.
You know you're a Cowboy fan, Howard.
No. I was a Jimmy Johnson fan. Rich Kotite was here. Who would you take? Rich Kotite or Jimmy Johnson?
Right. Come on, Howard. Stop it. All the coaches that the Eagles had over the years, come on, who would you take?
Hey, Lamont, let me ask you a simple question.
Yeah.
Do you ever bring anything interesting to the table? Ever?
Yes, I do.
E-V-E-R for you Cowboy fans that can't spell.
But listen to me, Howard. I'm just tired of listening to you on a Saturday and hearing Mr. Lurie come out of you. Every weekend,
Jeffrey Lurie has never come out of
me. They are pimping you over there, Howard.
All right. I tell you what. Why don't you just keep on talking on that phone and you talk to yourself? It's more useful than talking to us. Will of God, what can I do for you today?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, what's up, Howard, man? I'm going to give you exclusives today, so please hold on. And I didn't want to end it with my ego shit. But first of all, I want to apologize to everybody who was listening to the Ike Reese Show that time when I came on. I was just talking out of context because I was just thinking about if the Eagles lost, we would have a look, and that would be really bad for Thanksgiving. Thank God we won. But I said something about Down syndrome, and I never go back to that because my family, you know, my
all
wife.
Right, well, what do you want to talk about? Let's move on from that. All right, what do you want to talk about?
All right, now, back to the situation. What's going on now, and I'm noticing it, is this betting thing really messing up everything? So I'm looking at them putting together a serious scenario where it's, the 49ers come because we made them cry the last time, and now they're coming to Philly, and, if they do try to win, which I don't
believe. So are you concerned? Are you concerned?
I'm never concerned at all, but the only thing I'm scared of is the rest of somebody cheating. Then I'm looking at another situation where we go to Dallas, and it's all about TV ratings. But I'm not worried about nothing. Because one thing about the Eagles, and everybody forgot, we always get together late. Always.
Well, they got to get a lead in this game. It's pretty simple. They got to get a lead. All right. That's another useless human being, and that would be Captain Cowboy. You dope. What are you doing?
Taking the buffoons and idiots. First, you are right. Teams do cover for their players when you talk about the sister guy. Because your real employer covers for that bad guy, that shoplifter, Jalen Carter. They cover for him. So you're right. Teams do that.
No,
you're 100% right about that.
That situation's over, and I'm not going to even get into it.
So is the Marbury situation, but you keep talking about it every week. That's over as well. But you keep bringing that up. Every time you bring that up, I'm going to bring up that shoplifter, Jalen Carter. How about that?
Well, but you don't know the full extent of that, and I do.
Yes, I do.
And
I
don't
told you,
get
I know
into
somebody
it.
Working that target. I told you.
Kelly Oubre allegedly broke the law by filing a false police report. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Now you come on here with your spill and your narrative about we're such bad fans, but did you see what was released? What was it, a week or two ago, by professional athletes in all three sports? That said, the worst and most obnoxious fans were Philadelphia fans, and they said especially the Eagle fans. Did you see? Did you happen to see that, or you glossed over that?
I could care less.
Do you know the Dallas Cowboys
are the first team since 1999 that have won more than 8 games against non-winning teams?
Really?
Did you know that? Did you know that?
You just told me something.
Okay.
Can I lighten you on something?
Sure.
The Philadelphia Eagles are the only team in the NFC East division with one Super Bowl. Did you know that?
Doesn't matter. Who had the last?
Who's been the most recent
between the Eagles and the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl? Who has been the most recent? Hey, wait a minute. This is my show. You don't ask me questions.
Yeah,
I ask you.
No, I don't ask you questions.
Hey, listen. Dope. Beat it. How's that? Just beat it. I just would. You know, I just do it. It's an exercise in stupidity. That's what Captain Cowboy is. It's an exercise in stupidity. Cowboys fans are the most ignorant human beings in the history of sports. I'm trying to think of a fan base that, I mean, think about this. You'd have to dig deep, but it's an easy answer. The most ignorant fan base in the history of sports. They haven't won a Super Bowl since, you know, most of the players on that team weren't even born yet when the last time they won a Super Bowl. The most ignorant fan base in the history. You know, I can only deal with the United States of America, but probably in the world, Dallas Cowboys fans. Useless losers, dopes, and morons. You understand that? Do you understand that? Okay. Our question today to win a great, it's a great prize, $100 gift certificate to Star Restaurants. It's really, I mean, the gift certificate, hey, it could be for you, but if you want a gift certificate for a gift, it is a great gift for the holidays. Close to 20 restaurants just in the Philadelphia area. I mean, some great ones. Budokan, Park, Barclay Prime, Elvez. I mean, you can go. I mean, I got a list of the restaurants. It's just, it's incredible. All the restaurants, not just restaurants, but you're in Singer, the Continental, Midtown, whatever. All right, $100 gift certificate. And the question is pretty simple. You know, I should do the fan base that's the most despised, but that was too easy. That would have been too easy because that's the Cowboys fan base. But the question is, the most despised, because I don't like to use the word hate, team for 1 year. The team you despised for 1 year. So, and that's our question. 215-592-9494. We're at the Borgata, which we always love on Saturday mornings. We're at the Sportsbook, BetMGM. It's always hopping here on Saturdays, Sundays. I mean, it's crazy. But it's good. It's crazy good. All right. I'm Howard Eskin. The time, and we'll get back to your calls and your comments. Mark Lawrence coming up at 9:40. And we'll take a look at this college football today and the pros tomorrow. Time now is 9:20. If you're in the restaurant business, the hospitality, the bar or casino business, you want to listen to this. If you're looking for a point of sale system, you may have one, but you may not be totally happy with it. Then what you should do is call PDQ Signature Systems. PDQ POS, it's been the top rated restaurant management system. That's well over 35 years now. They offer you everything. Mobile POS, self-serve kiosk, analytical reporting, contactless functionality, online ordering, loyalty and delivery management, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS, not only the fastest, easiest, and most reliable, but they also save you money. They save you time so you can focus on what really matters, and obviously that would be your customers. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, it'll work for you. Joe Flynn is a terrific leader of his team. Very philanthropic guy, too. Very philanthropic. Wonderful guy. But a wonderful team. Create a custom game plan to fit your individual business needs. Trust me, if you want a point of sale system that will truly make a difference, you need PDQ POS. I don't know what you're waiting for. Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and go all in with PDQ Signature Systems. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today. And here is where you can check it all out. PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com. just playing the instrumental? Where's the vocal?
I'm bringing it back with the instrumental.
Oh, okay.
You're supposed to talk over it.
Yeah, I know, but I like the vocal, too. I like to hear a little bit of Elton John with Philadelphia Freedom. That's right. Hey, you know who's in town tomorrow for something else? Oh, he's dedicating the new... It's all about money. Concession stand at the Art Museum next to the Rocky statue. Sylvester Stallone is in town tomorrow. I'd imagine everybody wants to get a piece of national TV, so I would not be surprised that he comes to the Eagles game tomorrow. Bradley Cooper will probably be there. Doesn't seem like he misses the game. So, but there'll be a lot. It's big games like that, you know, entertainers, and like Mike Trout's there, they enjoy games like that. It's fun. Those games are for sure fun. All right, let's go to Steve. You're on WIP.
As far as, Joel Embiid, I think he should have been gone at the extreme 2 years ago.
Well, they're not going to win a championship with him, so it wouldn't have been a bad thing to trade him and kind of start the ball rolling again. I hate to start it over again, but you're not going to win a championship with Joel Embiid.
No, you won't. And then how come year in, year out, the other players step up when he's out? You can't, you know, what's that saying? Are they dependent upon him when he's in the game that they can't step up? You know what I mean? There's always a quotation.
They played hard last night, and they did it without Joel Embiid. I mean, Maxie was gone, too. Maxie's a great guy. Maxie is the guy that, I don't know, you build a team around him, but he's certainly a big, big part of what you build with Maxie.
I think he's a good, really good player.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
As far as San Francisco, I'm not concerned. I'm not talking it's a guaranteed win. What I'm saying is I'm not concerned if they win or they lose. It is what it is. I'm more concerned about the game next week with Dallas. You know,
this is a bigger game. I think this is a bigger game because this one game decides home field. There'll be other factors with the Dallas game, but this
aspect,
will decide
yeah,
home field.
Definitely. As far as my most hated team, despised, it would be the Dallas Cowboys in the last 25 years.
Yeah, but give me 1 year. It's too easy to say the Cowboys. I mean, that's being lazy.
You want another team, then it would be the Lakers.
Do you have a year? Over time, just 1 year. Like, 1 year, what? It's like San Francisco, obviously, has annoyed
people.
The
year they did the worst, and that's within the last, seven years?
All right. I'll put you in the mix, but I don't know that will win, but I'll put you in the mix. Paul, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard.
Morning.
I thought you were going to sing Philadelphia Freedom with the vocals in the background.
Yeah, I read Elton John does a better job of it.
Hey, Howard, if you were to compare the offenses right now and you were to give an advantage to one over the other, who would you think has the advantage of the, you know,
I would say the Eagles, offensively, the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are better wide receivers. Obviously, San Francisco's got a better running back, but McCaffrey does so many different things. That's what makes him really good.
And tight end right now.
And tight end, right. And tight end. And Dallas Goedert's not playing tomorrow. And tight end San Francisco is.
Dallas Goedert's 100% out?
Well, he's doubtful. He's not 100%, but I would say it's highly, highly, highly unlikely he plays tomorrow. I think the Eagles want to keep him out another week, but he'll play next week against Dallas.
Okay.
All right. A team that you, for 1 year, despise.
It would be the cheating New England Patriots when they beat us in the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, and we didn't know it until later.
2004-2005.
Patriots are so easy to dislike. They were so easy to dislike.
And the fact that they cheated, you know, it just makes you all these years.
Yeah, and we didn't find that out until later. That's actually not a bad one. It's not a bad one. All right, let's go to Vince. You're on WIP.
Hey, Hey, Howard, good morning. It was interesting last night because I thought to myself, should I bother listening to the Sixers game, you know, without Embiid and Maxey? And I was pleasantly surprised they hung in there most of the game. I mean, obviously, they're not a championship team, but I just found it fascinating that they played so much harder without Embiid in the lineup.
I'm not surprised. It's all about Embiid when he plays. Hey, listen, I know how talented he is. I get it. But that doesn't always win. I mean, there's been teams that have had very, extremely great, talented players, but that they just don't win. And there's factors involved. But Embiid is just, he's not a leader. He's not a winner. Many times he's about himself. And that doesn't take away the fact that he's extremely talented. But the reality is, it's just you can't win like that. Like Jokic plays for his team, plays hard all the time. It's just you don't even have to look at the box score, and he's got 20 some points and double digit assists almost every game, and he's the best passing center in the NBA since Olajuwon, and he might be better than Olajuwon. That's what's crazy.
Well, with Embiid too, I find him, I don't know, there seems to be still a bit of an immaturity about him.
Well, sure,
in
sure
many
there
ways.
Is. Yep. Yep. Jokic last night, 21 points, 16 assists for a center. 16 assists for a center. 16 assists and only had 3 turnovers. That guy can play. What a great player. Fundamentally sound. Everything. All right, so who is your most despised
team? Yeah, for 1 year, I'd have to go with last year's Boston Bruins, actually, because I remember when they came in here and, it seemed like the whole place was rooting for the Bruins, and they were, racking up the records for all
but what,
season
what,
points.
What annoyed you? Why did you despise them? Just because they won?
No, not at all. Just the way they acted in many ways. Then it was great that they got eliminated in the first round after blowing a 3-1 lead. So I just thought they were kind of arrogant as a group, and same with their fans, too.
All right. I'll put you in the mix. I don't know that it'll win, but I'll put you in the mix. Let's go to Bob. You're on WIP.
Howard, how are you doing?
Never had a bad day in my life, Bob. You should
know
that.
Yeah, it's true. And you say that often. Listen, always wanted to say to you, growing up in Northeast Philly, we used to deliver beer down to Ron in the Boulevard. You were always super cool. You always had time to talk to people. We used to see you at your barbershop.
Yeah. You're right. The barbershop, which doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist anymore, correct?
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
Yeah, the guys passed away, but yeah, right off of Ron in the Boulevard. You are
there
correct.
You go.
Yeah, so, since a kid I was, but I don't go there. I have a woman that does my hair right now, and she is sensational.
Good for
you,
boss.
It's just a haircut. It's just, but I like, hey, listen, if I'm going to remain a sex symbol, I got to.
So what I was going to say in regards to the birds, when you look at the line, it does tell you a lot of things, but I look at the game last night, Oregon and Washington. I mean, everybody loved Oregon.
I did too.
They're playing great ball, and sometimes you get teams that just ball out against another team. I guess that's Washington. In regards to the Eagles, I worry about not having Fletcher Cox. I think you have to pressure Purdy. I think it's his good. I think he plays great with a lead. I've seen him play against Cleveland, Minnesota, and who was the other team? Cincinnati. And when he doesn't have the lead, he's not the same quarterback. So I worry about that. But I still think at the end of the day, I've heard Didinger and I've heard a couple other people, it's just the Eagles are winning. They're hot. I don't care about how they've won and who's getting outstat it. It's at the end of the day, they're putting up a W, and that's all that matters. I like the Eagles tomorrow. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I like
them. So you're not as concerned as some people are?
I'm concerned in regards to, if you lost one to San Fran, okay, we get to play them a second time, and it's nice to have the revenge factor.
Okay.
It's hard to beat a team twice that's out of division. But then I also worry about Dallas because if you beat them twice, it's really hard to beat someone in the division three times. But, you know, this is why we play the game any given yep. Sunday. In regards to your question,
yes,
I got to go. It's every year since I've been a kid. It's the Mets. They're the worst. Every year I hate them. And their fans suck. They come into the state. The only time they're a lot like Cowboys fans, Howard. The only time they come around is when they're winning. And then when they do win, they always choke. And they got that in regards the same as Dallas Cowboys fans.
All right. All right.
The last thing I got to ask you real quick.
Go ahead.
Howard, is there a bigger tool in the tool shed than Skip Bayless? I'll listen to what you got to say,
yeah,
buddy.
You know what? I don't really I think he's an idiot, but I don't really listen to him. So I don't pay attention to him. I mean, he plays people, too. All right. Let's go to Cowboy James. Now, I got this question for you because your name was James, I'm sure, as a caller for years in WIP. Why did you put Cowboy James in? Why did you put Cowboy in front of it?
Because I'm a cowboy.
Well, yeah.
Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah, okay. But you were James for years, right?
Nah. I just started calling in maybe like a couple months ago.
Oh, okay.
So you got the wrong person.
Okay. All right. So there's a Cowboy Jim. There's a Captain Cowboy. There's a Cowboy. Now you're Cowboy James. All right. What do you have for us today there, genius?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the he was talking about the miracle in the Meadowlands. Remember Vasek and him? I think it was 92, ran it back in New York. And he started punching
but that wasn't at the end of the game. That wasn't.
I thought it was.
I don't think so. I think it was a punt return. But I remember the play, and I don't remember what the situation was. But there was three miracle of Meadowlands: the Bisarchuk fumble, the Brian Westbrook punt return, and the Deshaun Jackson punt return. Two of those were the last play of the game. Two of those were the last play of the game.
My Deshaun favorite play was when he caught this long bomb on the Cowboys, and then he throws the ball in back of him because he thought he crossed the end zone.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He fumbled the ball, and Michael Westbrook had to get the ball, and then Westbrook had to jump over because I think he went to like third and goal. He had to jump over the pile, and he hurt his back doing it.
Yeah, I remember Deshaun let the ball go before he crossed the end zone. I do remember that. Yep. All right, you have a great weekend. And just remember, the Eagles are better than the Cowboys, and the Cowboys suck. All right, Mark Lawrence will join us. Take a look at today's college football, the pro games tomorrow. We'll do that. We have time for more callers, and then we'll come up with a winner for our $100 gift certificate to the Star Restaurants. So many to choose from, all terrific, all sensational, all very, very good. That's the prize today, $100 gift card to Star Restaurants. If you want to get any for the holidays to give to people, you can get them at the restaurants, and there's close to 20 here in Philadelphia. There may be 20. Or you can go online to Star, that's with two R's, stargiftcards.com. I'm Howard Eskin here at the Sportsbook at the Borgata. The time now is 9:41. Mark Lawrence will join us. So many things happen at the Borgata. Our show's here on Friday. I'm here on Saturday from the Sportsbook here at the Borgata, BetMGM. But there's so many shows. Joey Seinfeld was here last night. They've got a Christmas show here for a couple of weeks. Actually, a few weeks. There's so many things. The restaurants are sensational. The poker room's open 7 days a week. I can't explain how much fun it is and how enjoyable and what a terrific, clean, happening place that the Borgata is. Whether it's the restaurants, all sensational. Whether it's the bars and the live music, sensational. The big name entertainment, which I've just mentioned. The casino is very spacious, filled with your favorite slots and table games. You have a spa here that's terrific. The workout facilities are great. So there's so many great things with what is the best hotel casino, clearly, easily, on the East Coast. Start planning your getaway today. Check it all out. Here's the website, theborgata.com, for more details. About time that we got some vocals in here. We want to hear people too. That's all right. It's just, music is part of our lives. All right, Sports Radio 94 WIP. A lot of good football games today. And let me see. Did I put? Oh, okay. And to talk about them would be Mark Lawrence. Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing terrific, Howard. How are you doing this championship?
Oh, just another fine day. I'm here in the sports book at the Borgata. You know, it's all good. You know, it's got interesting. I was here last night, and there's a big player here. And he was running to the window before the number changed on the Sixers game because of Joel Embiid deciding to take another day of vacation. He was running to the window to play the game at 6.5. He was going to play Boston. Well, and then when he got to the window, it was 8.5. Well, obviously, they knew about Embiid, and then they found about the other guys. Guys saved a lot of money by them moving up the line here because of the injury. Those things always happen, but it was kind of an interesting situation. It was too much, even with missing all those players. Kind of an interesting situation here last night.
Sort of dumb luck on his part, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, right. Yeah, he saved a little money. All right. A lot of good – well – They're championship games, but that doesn't mean they're good games. But in this case, I think there's a lot of good games today. Who do you like?
Look, a couple of teams that are going to be playing with some revenge chip on their shoulder here, and I think they can get the job done. First is going to be Miami of Ohio. They're taking 7.5 against Toledo in the MAC Conference Championship game, and it's a Toledo football team that's done really well this year. I mean, they've out-yarded every opponent they've played, and they're where they are because of the way they play in the field. But I really like this Miami coach, Chuck Martin. He's just absolutely under the radar, terrifically good. He's 21-5 to the spread as a dog in coming into this football game, and 8-0 the last eight. So he's got a nice little point spread run going here as an underdog. Toledo, I feel, has the pressure on them all in the game here. They've been wire-to-wire the favorite to win this conference championship. They've shown some signs of cracking, if you will. There are some point spread failures down the stretch here. I think Miami gets their revenge and pulls the upset here.
All right, who else do you like?
I think we're going to look at UNLV. Basically a home dog against Boise State in the Mountain West Conference championship game today. And a lot of this is that head coach there, too, Barry Odom. He came over from Missouri to resurrect his program at UNLV, and what a job he's done. I mean, they're the best point spread team in college football this year.
Really?
Yes, UNLV is. They're just a money-making machine, a red-hot slots machine is what you'd call them. And what you've got in Boise State is a team that was in upheaval during the regular portion of the season. They made a coaching change. They fired their head coach, Andy Avalos. And I think that they can be taken out here in a game like this. Number one, it's a home field for UNLV. And they're playing for a whole lot more. This program is now alive and relevant once again. I think UNLV pulls the upset in this game as well.
You know what? I can't stand Nick Saban. Not a little, tiny, little bit. He's already lobbying if he loses the game, he still should be in the national championship mix. Can't do it, not with two losses. However, I don't like him, and the number keeps on falling. Georgia's good, but they're probably not as good as they have been in past years. You like a side there, too?
I got to like Alabama in the game. Nick Saban aside, you know, the fact of the matter is the guy is terrific as an underdog. So he'll have that revenge chip on his shoulder on top of it as well. And I think they had that a divine intervention, if you will, last week when they threw that Hail Mary touchdown against Auburn. It kept them alive for the national championship picture. With the loss, they're dead in the water. They're only playing for the SEC title. But now they're alive. And this pressure is squarely on Georgia in this football game here, trying to go undefeated for the third straight year in a row. This is the game I think Saban gets his team up for, and I think they're going to hand Georgia their first loss in 3 years here today.
Yeah, and then both of them will probably be in the national because they got to keep Georgia in there.
At that point, that's right, exactly right.
Yeah, and Oregon played themselves out last night. So, and if Florida State loses, which is a decent chance they're going to lose, they're out of it. So Alabama and Georgia will be in the national championship mix again. It's crazy. All right, let's take a look at the pros. Who do you like?
Look at a couple of dogs I think are live in these football games. First is going to be Tennessee. More of a fade against Indianapolis than anything else. I think the Colts are a bit of a fraud themselves. They're coming in here on a mini two-game win streak. And this is a Tennessee football team that is alive in the playoff chase in their inside their division here. A big win here by them. And you've also got a real nice, neat little stat in here. When Tennessee plays a game and both teams are coming off point spread wins, they're 12-1 to the spread, doing a real nice job that way. I think Tennessee gets back in the playoff picture with a win over the Colts here today as well, or tomorrow.
Okay. Who else?
Hey, guys, we're going to go Sunday night Green Bay Packers and fade Kansas City
like
in that
too.
Football game.
Yep.
You know, This is not your typical Kansas City football team we're seeing here this year. Their offense is lacking. Their defense is sloppy. Now they're laying points onto the road in a real tough environment here. Sunday night, Green Bay, where this football team is now all of a sudden putting their game together here. And just for what it's worth, not that he's worth anything, but Jordan Love has never lost a game at home to an AFC team. He's made three starts. He's won and covered all three games at Lambeau Field. I like Green Bay in the upset there as well.
All right. I want to get to two games before I get to the Eagles because Pittsburgh Steelers should never lay 6.5 against a Division II team. Their offense sucks. But can you bring yourself to like the Cardinals in this game?
I can, if for no other reason. You know, Pittsburgh now suddenly feels they're for real. Why? Because they finally outgained an opponent last week. They finally put up 400 yards in a football game for the first time in 58 games, and suddenly they feel they're real, and I think it's the furthest thing from the truth. They're also going to find themselves playing down to the level of the opposition here in Arizona here. It's difficult to get up for bad teams this time of the season, especially when you think you're a good team. Obviously, Pittsburgh is a real total fraud coming into this game here. And I would just dearly love the fact that if Pittsburgh had something on deck we could sink our teeth into, but they are coming off of back-to-back division games against Cleveland and Cincinnati, so I think there's a letdown for Pittsburgh here.
You know, and the other game is Cleveland's Joe Flacco's going to play quarterback. I know you've mentioned that a team kind of picks up, the other players kind of pick up their level for a guy that plays for the first time. And who are the Rams to lay 4 points? Do you like a side in that game?
I have to like Cleveland. I have to like this top-ranked defense. I think they can carry the load, the freight in this football game here. And again, you mentioned that rally around the quarterback aspect of the football game. I think it works real well for Cleveland. You got a winning team taking points from a losing team at this stage of the football season where the game is really, really important to Cleveland in the football game. I think the Browns knocked the Rams down and beat them on the scoreboard straight up.
All right, tough game. I know where you're coming from here. The Eagles, San Francisco, laying points on the road is not a treat, but who do you like?
This probably couldn't be any of a worse spot for Philadelphia than it ends up being, especially with Dallas up on deck next week and them having a two-game lead over San Francisco in the NFC chase in the playoff race there. Frisco's got this big-time revenge from the championship loss they had last year. I have to like San Francisco in the football game. I don't like laying points. You're laying 3 points in the team with the best record in the National Football League, and that should be incentive enough to get Philadelphia up for the football game. But, boy, Howard, you know I know. They're winning games with smoke and mirrors here last 4 games.
Yeah, but they're still 10-1. It's smoke and mirrors.
I understand.
And they still have great numbers. Their offense is like scoring is third in the league. They have a really good red zone offense. But it is, you know, the way they win is interesting. And they can't come from behind against this team. This team plays really well when they're front running, but they don't play well when they're behind. So that's a key thing I think to look for, is that how these teams start. But yeah, I know what you're saying. I know it's a tough game, and you know, if it wasn't San Francisco and the Eagles, I'd say, boy, laying 3 points on the road, the line's kind of telling you something, and I totally understand the situation. But the Eagles have found ways. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, and I understand the side.
I just use it as a sign of caution is all I would do.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet the game. For these people, I wouldn't bet the game. You know, if you're in Philadelphia, I wouldn't bet the game. I would just wouldn't bet the game. But
we don't have to bet every game. That's true.
No, that's exactly right. All right. If you have interest in Mark's services, 800-321-7777 or on the internet at playbooksports.com. Mark, you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Enjoy the games, Howard. Be well. I'll catch you next week. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Our question: to win the $100 gift certificate to Star Restaurants, and there's so many good restaurants, and you can enjoy the gift certificate. However, for the holidays, gift cards are a great way to give a gift, and you can do so at any one of their restaurants. I think they got about 20 in Philadelphia, including Park, Barclay Prime, Elvez, Budokan. There's so many, so many. Butcher and Singer, so many good restaurants. But the gift cards can be purchased at the restaurant or online, Star with two R's. giftcards.com. You won't go wrong with that. All right, Dan Wilson back at the studio. We had some interesting responses to the team that's the most, I use the word despise because I don't like the word hate. Go ahead, who did we come up with?
Yeah, so Paul and Havertown had the winning answer with the 2004 cheating New England Patriots, who of course beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they only beat them by what, 3? And we found out later they cheated. How can you... you could pick any year with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, who also cheated. You could pick any year and hate any one of those teams. But that year, it's a good year to hate them. So, and there were some good answers. The Astros answer was a good answer, too. But Paul in, where was it, Havertown?
And Paul in Havertown, yes.
Okay. He wins the $100 gift at the Star Restaurants. Dan Wilson back at the studio. Thanks, Dan, for all your help. Great job. Caleb, I'm not even going to pronounce your last name. I want to say Fieger.
Flieger. Yes, sir.
There's an L in there, Flieger. I always screw up your last name. Will you change it legally so I don't have to deal with this every week?
Next week.
Okay. Change it legally. Go to the transportation department and just change it on your driver's license. It'll make it easier for me. But thanks for your help today. Great job. All right, everybody, Glenn and Mike Sielski are next. Everybody have a great weekend. Big game tomorrow. Big, 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 big. And I hope you enjoy it. I will. I love standing in the rain again for the fifth time. It'll be beautiful. But that's all right. The fans don't care. They were out there all week. Have a great weekend. The time now is 9:58. And if you're in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, or casino business, you're looking for a point-of-sale system, I know one that can make a difference. PDQ Signature Systems. PDQ POS has been the top-rated restaurant management system for over 35 years. They offer everything. Mobile POS, self-serve kiosks, analytical reporting, contactless functionality, online ordering. You know what I'm talking about here. And if you're in a business, you know how it can help you, right? They're the best in the business. PDQ POS is not only the fastest, easiest, and most reliable for POS available, but they'll also save you time, effort, money. You want to take care of your customers. You don't need all the other stuff, right? Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, Joe Flynn will take care of you. His team will take care of you. They'll create a custom game plan to fit your individual needs. If you want a point of sale system that will truly make a difference, this is the one. PDQ POS. I don't know what you're waiting for. Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and go all in with PDQ Signature Systems. Schedule a free demo and business consultation. PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.